Every devotee has his individual, we can say preference, you're allowed to have your preference. Some devotees prefer to sit quietly and chant. It's not a crime. The thing is, we're supposed to chant. Gopakumar preferred to go to some place by himself and just practice his mantra. Tanmaha purushasya eva prabhava tadvishena cha japena chitta shuddhir me tatra shvadha pyajayata. By the influence of that great person, even such aimless chanting purified my mind, and I developed faith in the mantra. Commentary. Without scientific knowledge of its practice and significance, the young sadhaka Gopakumara could hardly have solid faith in the mantra. He was not firmly convinced of its efficacy, nor was he affectionately attached to it. Nonetheless, his naive chanting purified his mind of lust, envy, and greed. Gopakumar says that this is all by the influence of his guru, by the mercy, by the power of his guru. Rupa Goswami explains about the different activities of sadhana bhakti, 64 angas of Vaidhi bhakti, devotional service and practice. Lists all of them, describes them in some detail. Then he, after finishing the list, he takes the last five on the list and repeats them, stating that these five have special potency. The five are worshipping the deity of Krishna with affection is number one. I know them, but I'm not sure if I have them in the right order. It doesn't matter what order they're in. Associating with devotees, swayamvare, who are better than oneself, who have a similar mood or style of devotional service that similar to your own, and who are sympathetic, who want to bother to give you their association, who can take the trouble and time. That requires some sympathy. Associate with such devotees is the second process. Third, Srimad Bhagavata Artanam Aswado Rasikai Saha, to relish the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of Rasika Bhaktas. Devotees, that doesn't necessarily mean persons who are shouting Radhe Radhe 20 times a second. It means those who have a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, a real taste. You may not find many such bhaktas, but that's the effective process.
What is the symptom of this?
Rasika?
How should we understand that this person has a taste for Bhagavatam?
Constantly engaged in hearing and chanting Bhagavatam. Someone who's reading newspapers and listening, watching TV, wasting his time with that, there's something wrong with his attachment to Srimad Bhagavatam. Or, you know, gives Bhagavat Saptaha, but during the intermission has to go out and smoke a few cigarettes. Yeah. There was one Bhagavat Saptaha in Govardhan, it was right down the street, on the big billboard, please do not give any donations, we won't accept any money. And while he was speaking, 40,000 rupees were stolen out of his room. Yeah, I don't know where he got the money from, because he doesn't accept donations. Yeah, what he was doing carrying it around with him at that time. Anyway, another story. My wife lives in Govardhan, so she associates with the local ladies a lot. And they asked where I was, and she said I went to Delhi or someplace, Vrindavan, to give Bhagavad Pravachana. And so the neighbor said, okay, how much are they paying him? You know, if your husband, you know, is a pundit and he's giving a Bhagavad Pravachan, the first question is, how much is he getting paid? Yeah. And he said, no, they're not paying him for it. Oh, they must be giving him, you know, some nice silk dhoti at least, and feeding him nicely. Because they can't conceive that someone's going to give a Bhagavad lecture for free. It's just not the business. So that's not Rasika Bhakta, someone who makes a business out of reciting. Someone who preaches as service and doesn't have material interests. What did I say before? Sarvavedanta saram hi shimad bhagavatam shi bhagavatam ishyate. This is from 12th canto. Tadva samvita triptasya nanyatra syatvati kvachit. This is the symptom of a rasika, described by Suta Goswami in the 12th canto. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy, or contains the essence of all Vedanta philosophy, therefore, someone who actually has a taste for it, that's a rasika, one who is, rather it says exactly, one who is satisfied with tasting Srimad Bhagavatam, who has actually tasted it and has actually enjoyed it, will never again be attracted to anything else. Nanyatra syat. He shouldn't be interested. He shouldn't have any attraction to anything else, especially any other kind of book or other printed material, electronic or otherwise. So that's Rasika Bhakta. And then, you know, there may be higher levels of Rasika Bhakta, and one is, you know, can't hear Krishna's name without rolling on the ground. But that's the minimal definition. One who actually has a taste. Shukadeva Goswami tried to avoid showing such symptoms, so he didn't utter the names of the gopis. And there's certain things he didn't describe, because he didn't want to make a big show of his own ecstasy. He wanted to describe Srimad Bhagavatam. So don't judge who's a Rasika Bhakta by who's rolling on the ground and making a big show of his ecstasy. The serious reciter is going to check his own ecstasy, because his business is to present the Bhagavatam, like Shukadeva Goswami. If you want to do Bhagavat Saptaha, then be like Shukadeva Goswami. That's the qualification for the reciter of Bhagavat Saptaha. Yes.
So there, what kind of, how can we implement this? Like, we have to sit together and read from purport. Like, from practical point of view, I was asking. What you are saying is very much true, that we should not go out and hear all these things from other people. But within our own circle of devotees, how this practically has to be implemented besides our morning Bhagavatam class?
Oh, simple. We should stay inside our own circle, the ISKCON circle. Then we're hearing from Prabhupada. If a devotee has been appointed by the temple authorities to give the class, or the devotees have been asked to talk to each other about Bhagavatam, like they sit in breakfast and talk to each other, maybe some of it is about Bhagavatam, that is authorized. Then we're hearing from Prabhupada, because whatever we heard it from Prabhupada. We're not going outside to hear. We may have heard something sometimes in the past, or something has entered our ears from outside, but we don't go out to find these other presentations, even from the other Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We hear primarily from Prabhupada and from Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples. And soon we'll have grand grand disciples. Okay. Then that's hearing from Rasika Bhakta. At least we're hearing from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada can make others into Rasika Bhaktas. If a devotee gives class, then we should relish it because he's repeating what Prabhupada said and repeating what Shukadeva Goswami said, hopefully. This is the test of real ruchi, taste, as described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his book Madhurya Kadambini, which gives guidelines for judging how much yourself, measuring your own advancement. So this is the test of ruchi. One of the tests is that, and it's in relationship to, I guess, kirtana and prasadam, he mentions. And that would include hearing Bhagavatam, kirtanam. You know, someone else is reciting Bhagavatam and you're listening. if you distinguish, I don't like this kirtan. You know, it's not sweet, it's not artistic. I don't like that. I'll walk out on this one and wait for the one I like. I don't like this prasadam. I won't take it. I like some other prasadam, I'll wait for it. I'll demand that instead. I'll dig down in the bucket and get what I want. The pakoras down the bottom. That's conditional ruchi. It's immature ruchi. You know, qualified. You know, you're attracted only to certain kind of kirtan and some prasadam. There's material judgment there, material taste. You're attracted to Krishna's prasadam, but you make material distinctions, what you like and what you don't like. You're attracted to kirtan, but some kirtans you don't want to listen to, some bhavatam classes you walk out on, or manage not to be there for some excuse. But someone who has mature ruchi, actual attraction to prasadam, will eat anything that's been offered to Krishna. Thankfully, he may watch out for his health. That's for his body's sake. But as far as, you know, thinking I like it, I don't like it, he controls his mind and tries to remember that it's Krishna's prasadam, I like it because it was offered to Krishna. That's real ruchi. And I like it because it's the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if the devotee who is giving it is spaced out, incompetent, and has got some other agenda of his own that he's trying to present in the class. If, in the course of his rambling and political, you know, diatribes, he happens to repeat something that Prabhupada said and something that Shukadeva Goswami said, if you have a mature ruchi, you should be swimming in ecstasy. And you won't even pay attention to the trivial things that don't fit in. That's mature ruchi. That you'll be glad to hear any recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if you're distinguishing with the classes you like and the classes you don't like, then your attraction is immature.
So, Prabhu, if we don't have that mature ruchi, I still be supposed to hear all that thing if he's speaking like that?
Yes, out of a sense of respect. Out of respect for the Bhagavatam, we should come and hear it regularly, and we should listen quietly, attentively, not making noises, not, you know, pulling our, you know, fingers, cracking our fingers. It's a really inauspicious sound to make, especially during Bhagavatam class. And other things, you know. We should actually give full attention to the Bhagavatam. Out of respect, even if we don't have so much taste yet. That's how we get the taste. By showing respect, then the Bhagavatam gives us its blessings. What is it? Nityambhagavata sevaya. What's the first line? Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityambhagavata sevaya. So by regularly, daily, every day, not just on days when someone you like is giving the class. Daily, nityam. Regularly, every day. By every day serving the Bhagavatam, your contamination, the contamination of your heart, becomes reduced almost to nothing. And then your faith in Krishna and in Krishna consciousness becomes very fixed, just by doing it every day. Anyway, these are the five processes. I only got to the second one, I guess, in my list. Third, okay. Worshipping the deity, associating with it, more advanced devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of devotees who have a taste for it. Nama Sankirtanam, reciting, practicing the japa of Krishna's names. And Mathura Mandale Stitihi, staying within the abode of Sri Mathura Mandala, Mathura district. Mathura district has its expansions. Navadvip, Mayapur is non-different. Jagannath Puri is non-different. And according to Prabhupada's opinion, the ashrams of ISKCON are non-different from Krishna's holy abode. They're embassies. So the ambassador is still under the protection and getting the blessings of his country. He's doing great service for his country, being posted in some foreign country. So you're posted in this foreign place, Pune. You may have been born here and you may think it's your place, your home city, but it's a foreign place and you're the ambassador, ambassador of Goloka. You may not have the qualification to be a resident of Goloka, but you've been posted as the representative. So, Mathura Mandale Siddhi, those five processes, specially potent. And what Rupa Goswami then says, Shraddha Dure, forget about having to have faith in the process. You don't even have to believe in it for it to work. Just like some medicines are so potent that even if you don't know what it is and you don't believe in it, it will have its effect. Other medicines, you know, you have to have some psychological addition to the medicine's effect. If you don't believe in it, it may not work. But these five, the other 59 processes, yeah, there's no guarantee of the same sort. The guarantee is given for these five, that even without any belief that they, you know, conviction that they actually are effective, they will be effective if you just do them. And what they do, what their effect is, bhava janmani, they work very effectively to quickly awaken the creeper out of the, what you call the ankura, the seedling of love of God in your heart. Bhava is like the sprouting seedling. The seed grows a little sprout, which eventually turns into the full plant. So that this beginning sprouting, initial sprouting of pure love is called bhava. Or it's like the dawn when the sun's rays begin to appear. So that beginning of love of God is awakened in our hearts by these five practices. That's how sadhana bhakti works. By emphasis on these five processes, one, at least one of them, or some of them, or even all five of them if possible, your practice of devotional service according to rules and regulations leads to spontaneous attraction to Krishna. That's the purpose of Vaidhi Bhakti. Okay? So, I didn't finish the purport. I'll just read the whole purport again. It's only one paragraph. Commentary, rather. Without scientific knowledge of its practice and significance, the young sadhaka Gopakumar could hardly have solid faith in the mantra. He was not firmly convinced of its efficacy, nor was he affectionately attracted to it. Nonetheless, his naive chanting purified his mind of lust, envy, and greed. I did read it before, but anyway. Tadvakyam chanusandaya jagadishvara sadakam tam mantram manyamanoham tushyanjapaparobhavam. So I mentioned before, if the Bhagavatam was describing the life history of just brahmanas, there'd be no interest. They sat down, meditated, and went back to Godhead. Gopakumara sat down, chanted, and then some very interesting things began to happen. So here's the beginning of the story. Contemplating my guru's words, I understood the mantra to be the means for achieving the Lord of the universe. Thus I became satisfied and absorbed in chanting. Commentary, Gopakumara's guru had told him, accept the Supreme Lord's mercy. So that instruction he got, that this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Please take it. Remembering this, Gopakumara concluded that the mantra was meant for obtaining the favor of the Supreme Lord. That's all you have to understand. This was a satisfying reason to take enthusiastically to the chanting. And that's what you have to do, is chant enthusiastically. Everything else is detail, optional. It will help. But if you just understand this is Krishna's mercy and I should be enthusiastic about it, then it will be, you'll get the result. If you're interested in Krishna's mercy. This is his built-in qualification that he showed an interest in Krishna's mercy. He was attracted to Krishna's devotee spontaneously. You have to have something in you to become a devotee. You can't take a dead rock, you know, and just beat it and turn it into a devotee. Okay? Kidrisho jagadisho sao kadana drishyatam maya tarekalalaso hitva drihadin jahnavim agat. So he was in Govardhan. No, actually, he was born in Govardhan. He got his initiation at Keshigat in Vrindavan. Now, he's leaving. I became eager to know who this Lord of the Universe was and when I might be able to see him. Because he wasn't satisfied just to sit and chant. Now he had, an urge. He wanted to see the deity of his mantra. He wanted to go meet him, find him. But this is, and what's this Jahnavi? What place is that? Jahnavi is a place. You know what place? Not Jamuna, no. He's already on the Jamuna. Ganga. This is the daughter of Janu Rishi because she was born out of his knee. He swallowed her and then when he was asked to give her back, Bhagirata was upset. He's trying to get Ganga to come down to Ganga Sagara. And he swallowed her because she washed out his ashram. So he relented, but he let her out. Well, one story is she came out of the ear. I think that's in the Bhagavatam. Other Puranas say she came out of his knee. Anyway, Janu means knee, but his name was also Jahnu. It's actually spelled two different ways. Janu is with Dirga Akara. And Jahnu has an extra ha. But anyway, even following the Bhagavatam's version, it has her coming out of his ear. She's the daughter of Jahnu, and therefore she's Jahnavi, or Jahnava, either way. That's Ganga. Anyway, with this as my only aspiration, I abandoned my home and other attachments and went to the banks of the Ganga. How far is that? About 125 kilometers from Vrindavan. You can reach somewhere north of Kanpur if you go straight east. Commentary. Wanting to identify the Lord of the Universe, Gopakumara compared him to familiar people and things. But he could find no clue in the place where he had been brought up. So he left home to wander in search of the Lord. Interesting. Who's the Lord of this mantra? It's a Gopal 10-syllable mantra. So who's the deity? Gopal. And he can't find Gopal in Govardhan. Anyway, he's going to have to wander all over the universe and then find out that he's actually in Govardhan. Krishna is not showing himself when he's not performing his visible pastimes. He's not visible in Govardhan. There aren't even many temples, except for temples of Giriraj, of the Govardhan Shila. Yeah. You know, if someone asks, what are the big temples in Govardhan? Well, there aren't any, really. The commentary. No, I read that. Next verse. Durat chanka dvanim shrutva tatparam pulinam gataha vipram vikshyanamam tatra shalagrama shilarchakam. Hearing the distant sound of a conch shell being blown, I followed that sound to its origin on a sandy bank of the river. This is Ganga. There I saw a learned Brahman worshipping a shalagrama shila, and I bowed down. Of course, at that time, Gopakumara didn't know what a shalagrama shila was. Kimidam yajasi swamin iti prishto maya asan. Sovadat kim na janasi balayam jagadishwaraha. I asked him, Master, what are you worshipping? Laughing, he replied, Dear boy, don't you know that this is the Lord of the Universe? Commentary. The worshipper was surprised that anyone, even a child, wouldn't know that Sri Shalagrama is a direct incarnation of the Lord of the Universe. Anybody here know someone who doesn't know that Shalagram Shila is the Supreme Lord? I guess there are people nowadays. Tatrutvaham susamprapto nidhim labdveva nirdanaha nashtam va bandavo bandum paramamudam aptavan. Hearing this, I became unlimitedly happy, like a poor man finding a welcome treasure, or a family man reuniting with a long-lost relative. Jagadisham rupashyan dundavat tradayanamam padodakam sanirmalyam viprasya kripayapnuvam. I gazed for a long time at the Lord of the Universe, and with faith bowed down to him, my whole body flat on the ground like a rod. By the Brahman's mercy, I received some water that had washed the Lord's feet, and some remnants of offerings to him. Commentary: with newborn faith and affection for the Lord in his Shalagram form, Gopakumara happily accepted the Lord's Charanamrita, along with the remnants of tulsi leaves and other items early offered to the Lord. Because Gopakumara chanted nicely, he already had faith in the deity Gopal. So when Gopal's representation of Shalagram appeared to him, he had no problem accepting that this rock is Gopal, my deity. He had no problem. He accepted that this is the Lord of the Universe. He doesn't know that what he's chanting about is the Lord of the Universe. To him, those are two different ideas. The Gopal that he's singing about in his mantra, and the Lord of the Universe, who is this little rock, as far as he knows right now, they're two different things. Okay? He's a naive boy. But he has a good heart. Any questions? Okay.
Ujyatena griham gantum karonde tena shaitam jagadisham vilokyarto vyalapam sasrami drisham.
Then the Brahman, preparing to return home, lay the Lord of the Universe to rest in a box. Pained to see this, I tearfully complained in this way: ha ha, dhritakarandantar astane parameshvaraha kimapyasao nacha bhukta nidra tukshudaya katam. My God, you are putting the Supreme Lord into a box. Such an unfit place. And he hasn't even eaten. How will he sleep if he's hungry?
Commentary:
Gopakumara thought the little box an ill-chosen place for the Lord of the Universe. Told that being placed in such a box is what's done with the deity after worshipping him is finished, Gopakumara replied that he had not seen the Brahman make an offering of food substantial enough to satisfy the Lord's appetite. Because he made some offering, but it was some small offering. Not enough to satisfy his appetite. And that the Lord should not be forced to sleep without first being fed. Good sentiment. Goes on.
Prakritya na janami matura brahmanottama asmar vilakshanat kaschid twap yasti jagarishwaraha.
O excellent brahmana from Mathura, because of my material conditioning, I was unaware that the Lord of the Universe is different from everyone and everything in this world. Commentary: Gopakumara was ignorant of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature. The Lord can enjoy himself everywhere simultaneously by expanding into an infinite number of forms. There is no reason to worry that he will go hungry because of one devotee's neglect. He may seem to be a small stone trapped in a box, but in fact the Lord is unlimited. Now, it may seem that Gopakumar, despite his complete ignorance of the fact that the Lord of the universe is not a living entity like us, he has no limitations. He's ignorant of that. That means he's ignorant of all the basic facts of spiritual philosophy. He's begun his spiritual life successfully in that ignorance. It doesn't mean that he's going to go back to Godhead in complete ignorance. Nobody can do that. You need tattvajnana. He will gradually attain it. Not by going to school or even, you know, coming to the temple and sitting in class. He'll get his instructions out on the street. You know, he'll meet great devotees like Narada and Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. They will instruct him. But he'll get his lessons eventually. And after he learns the basic facts, the science of Krishna consciousness, then he'll be able to go back to Godhead. Okay?
Itya kritrima santapam vilapaturam abravid brahmanap santvayitva mam hino vadvinayan vitaha.
As I complained and suffered in my uncontrived lamentation, the Brahmin couldn't simply laugh at him because Gopakumar was speaking this in all sincerity. He really meant it. The Brahmana tried to console me. Full of humility, he shyly spoke. He was a humble Brahmana. He didn't get angry and chastise. He spoke humbly. Commentary: the saintly Brahmin was ashamed of being too poor to feed even a human guest, what to speak of the Supreme Lord. And in fact, the place where he had now performed his worship simply had no facilities for cooking. But the humility the Brahmin felt was not caused by any external circumstance. It was a natural ecstasy of his individual type of love of God. Individual. Some devotees feel special sense of humility. Others, you know, have the necessary humility, but some devotees have more of it, and that's their special quality. This devotee is especially humble. He says, Nava Vaishnava Kim Kartum Daridra Shaknuyam Param Arpayami Swabogyam Hi Jagadishaya Kevalam. O new Vaishnava, he said, what more can this poor man do? I can offer to the Lord of the universe only the meals I prepare for myself. Commentary: the Brahmana who lived near the Ganga thought, if this cowherd boy has never seen a Brahmin like me worshipping Shalagram Shila, he must be new to spiritual life.
Yadi pujotsavam tasya vaibhavam cha didrikshase tadaita desha rajasya vishnu pujanuraginaha mahasadho purim yahi vartamana madurataha tatva sakshat samikshasva Durdarsham Jagadishwaram.
If you are eager to see the Lord's opulence and a great festival of his worship, please go to the capital city of the countries of this country's very saintly ruler. He is attached to the worship of Lord Vishnu in great love. You will find his city not far away, and there you can behold the Lord of the universe, who is so difficult to see. Commentary: the king of this district on the shore of the Ganga was a sincere Vaishnava, which made him a great saint, a greater saint than any karmi, gyani, or ordinary yogi. He worshipped the deity of Lord Vishnu with festive opulence. If Gopakumar liked, he could go to the capital and see for himself the king's wonderful worship. He could see the Lord's beauty, the rich offerings made to the Lord, and his luxurious sleeping quarters. The opulences of the king's deity were much more readily visible than those of the poor Brahmana's Shalagram Shila. Any questions at this point? Okay. Let's do this. Let's take a 5-minute break and then we can continue. Is that okay? Well, we should go. Are we supposed to go to 5 o'clock or what? What is the schedule?
Yeah, up to 5.
So I suggest take off 5 minutes. If you want, you can perform kirtan. I'm going to stretch around a little bit. And then 5 minutes later, we'll continue. Okay? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. But for now, please come have lunch in my house from the remnants of what has been offered to Lord Vishnu. Commentary. Gopakumar will certainly feel bliss if he witnesses the opulence of the Vishnu deity in the royal city. Hears the songs and prayers recited for the pleasure of the Lord, and tastes the remnants of food offered to the Lord. The Brahmana admits the devotees who have pure love for the Lord prefer to see him worshipped with suitable opulence. Opulence that he, a poor man, cannot provide for his own deity. Gopakumara should therefore at once go to the capital. But before he goes, he should have lunch at the Brahmin's house, where he can taste what little rice and other items have been offered this morning to the Brahmin's Shalagram deity. So the point is made here that devotees are more satisfied to see the Lord worshipped in opulence. Well, that's generally true for the general class of devotees. But the devotees of Vrindavan, of Goloka, prefer to worship Krishna in a more intimate way. So the opulence is not the primary ingredient that attracts them, that they're interested in. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the virtue of proper deity worship. Shingara Tan Mandira Marjanada. What's the first line of that? Shivigrahara Dana Nityanana. Shingara Tan Mandira Marjanada. Shivigrahara. So the worship of the Shivigraha. That's our Gaudiya Sampradaya jargon. Shivigraha. The divine form means Krishna's deity. You know, we don't just say the statue. We say the divine form. And some materialists may think of something else when he says divine form. So we have a technical sense of this word. Krishna's deity. Shivigraha Aradhana. The worship of the divine form. And what are the proper qualities of good worship? Aradhana Nitya Nana Shringara. So, the first... Actually, it says, first of all, tan mandira marjanado. The first thing, clean the temple. Second thing, the deity worship should be nitya, punctual, on time. And third, nana, variety, opulence. Make it clean first. And then make it on time. And if you can make it fancy, okay, but that's third. So, for in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we don't mind worshipping Krishna opulently, especially since it attracts common people. Although the very advanced devotees of the Lord can worship Krishna, you know, hanging from a tree or hanging around their neck, but no temple, no opulence. Sanatana Goswami offered Krishna dry chapatis, not chapatis, this bhati, yeah, with no ghee, no salt. You know, the bhati is very opulent when you bake it in ghee. Then it's an opulent sweet, not sweet, but an opulent treat. And, you know, it's fit for a wedding feast if you cook it in ghee, but no salt even, and offering it to Krishna's deity is quite austere. But Krishna accepted. He did complain. Can you at least put a little salt on it? And Sanatana goes, sorry, I'm sad. I'm sorry. I don't have money. You know how much salt costs in the market? I can't afford it, I'm sorry. You'll have to accept what I can give you. So that was the opulent standard of Sanatana Goswami's worship in the beginning. Not that he was against, but he just didn't have the means. The important thing was the love. And the regularity, the cleanliness and the regularity. That's the virtues of worship in our Sampradaya. We're not so interested in Krishna's opulence. So Krishna, when he's reciprocating with the devotee's in that mood, in the Vrindavan mood, he's not so interested in getting opulence. The goddess of fortune is constantly present in Vrindavan, especially when Krishna is present. When Krishna is present, then the goddess of fortune is blessing everything and everybody in Vrindavan. All opulences are automatically present. They're growing on the trees, they're coming from the milk of the cows, all opulences. The trees are all desire trees, the cows are all desire cows. So there's no need to worship the goddess of fortune. She's already blessed everything in the land. So we don't need to make offerings of opulent things. Krishna can pick what he wants off a tree, or just get it from the milk. So what he wants is the love. That's all that Krishna's interested in, that's all that the devotees of Vrindavan are interested in. Let the devotees across the river in Mathura be concerned with opulence, and Krishna there also becomes concerned with opulence. But on this side of the river, we don't care about it. So Sanatana Goswami, although he wasn't, he told Krishna, you're going to have to be satisfied with what I'm giving you. There was an occasion that, what is it, someone offered him some, a rich merchant visited him to take darshan, and offered him some nice shringara, garments and ornaments for the deities. What deities? Madan Gopal was there, but how is he going to use this nice paraphernalia to worship his deity? I'm mixing it up with the story of Gopal Bhatta. Yeah. Wrong story. I'll back up. I'm not a good storyteller, sorry. Sanatana Goswami is our author, so we should tell his story. It was another merchant. His name was Krishna Kapoor. Kapoor was his last name. I think it was Krishna. Krishna Das Kapoor. From Multan, which is where? In Sindh or someplace?
Pakistan.
Sindh, probably. And he was going to Mathura to sell his goods, and his on the Jamuna in Vrindavan, right there at Dwadasha Aditya Tila, the hill on which Madan Mohan was discovered, was worshipped by Dvaitacharya, and where Sanatana Goswami was staying. Right there on the shore of the river, Krishnadas Kapoor's boat ran aground. Was going to run aground. And Sanatana Goswami warned him. And so he was saved. His goods were saved. It ran aground. He went to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami offered him some blessings. And then it rained, and the river rose, and then the boat was freed. He went to Mathura, sold his goods, came back, and offered all the profits to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami did not refuse. He took it as a sign that Madan Mohan, sorry. But Madan Mohan is Gopal. The Gopal that's being worshipped by Gopal Kumar is Madan Mohan. It's Sanatana Goswami's own deity. He's also called Madan Gopal. So he said, okay, I guess Gopal wants a nice temple. So he took this fortune, lots of money, accepted it. Well, he didn't take it in his own hand. He told Kapoor, okay, I'll accept this money. You use it to build a fantastic temple for Madan Mohan. That temple, although it's been desecrated by Aurangzeb in 1699, and worship has not been conducted in the original temple since then, still it's still standing. It's still one of the most beautiful architectural spectacles in Vrindavan. So Sanatana Goswami accepted the opulence for Krishna's pleasure, but it wasn't his primary interest. The general class of devotees want to see a fancy temple. They're attracted to that. Some temples are conducted more in the mode of goodness. This is a temple in the mode of goodness. So you'll get more people. You may not get so many Pesewalas coming here. Maybe you do, I don't know. But you'll get intelligent people. I don't know who's coming here. Yeah. Okay, continuing.
Tadvacha nandito gatva kshurito pitadalayam tam pranamya tarudishta vartmana tam purimagam.
Delighted by the Brahmana's words, I offered him my obeisances, and without stopping at his house, even though I was hungry, I set out for the capital by the road he pointed out. Why? Commentary. Gopakumara repeatedly prostrated himself before the Brahman with great devotion. He did this partly to beg pardon for declining the Brahman's invitation, and partly to beg blessings for an auspicious journey.
He was just too eager.
You know, he couldn't even stop to eat. He had to go immediately.
Okay.
Antakpure devakule jagadishvarchana dvanim apurvam tumalam durat shutva pritcham amum janan.
Within the inner precincts of the city, from a distance I heard the sound of temple worship of the Lord of the universe. He doesn't really know what the Lord of the Universe is, but he could recognize this is what he was talking about, what the Brahman was talking about. I had never heard such a tumult, so I asked about it from the people nearby. Tumult, Sanskrit word, tumulo bhavat, tumala. Commentary. The noise Gopakumara heard came from the Lord's Aarti ceremony in the royal temple, where many devotees were chanting and playing musical instruments. The sound impressed Gopakumara as very wonderful. Well, I'm just repeating Sanatana Goswami. So this was millions of years ago, and it wasn't just banging bells. They were chanting and playing musical instruments. There was kirtan going on. It's not just an ISKCON thing. You know, even though everybody else just bangs bells, bangs gongs, but actually kirtan should be going on during RT. Next one.
Vigyaya tatra jagadishwaram ikshutum tam kenap yavari tagati sajavam pravishya shankari panka jagada vilasatkarabjam Srimat Chatur Bhujama Pashyamaham Samaksham.
This is the first time that Gopakumara saw any deity of the Supreme Lord other than the Shalagram Shila. So it was quite astounding to him. After having chanted the mantra and developed some faith in it. Learning from the Lord of the Universe, learning that the Lord of the Universe was being worshipped, I wanted to see him. As I approached, no one stopped me, so I quickly entered the temple, where in front of me I beheld the beautiful four-armed Lord, form of the Lord, his hands resplendent with a conch shell, disc, lotus, and club. Commentary. The guards at the door of the temple neither questioned Gopakumara nor blocked his entrance, so he eagerly ran inside. There he saw the deity of Vishnu, whose beauty and opulence more than fulfilled the Brahman's predictions and Gopakumara's own expectations. The four arms of the Lord resembled the bodies of mighty serpents.
Sarvanga sundarataram navamega kantim kausheya pita vasanam vanamalaya dhyam sauvarna bhushanam avarnya kishora murtim Purnendu Vaktram Amitasmitam Abjanetram.
All the parts of the body, of his body, were exquisitely attractive, and his complexion resembled a new rain cloud. Words can hardly describe his youthful body, dressed in yellow silk, ornamented with gold, and garlanded with forest flowers that increased his beauty. His face, with its sweet nectarian smile and lotus-like eyes, appeared like the full moon. Commentary. Beginning from his eyes and mouth, every part of Lord Vishnu's body was enchanting. Gopakumara could only compare his beauty to that of the most beautiful things he knew, a rain cloud, the moon, and lotus flowers.
Well, that's what great poets do also. You know, those are standard metaphors. So Gopa Kumar has a good instinct for poetic description.
Okay. It looks like...
Well, it doesn't say he looked at his face first. It doesn't say whether he looked at his feet first. The respectful order is to first look at the Lord's feet and then dare to look at his face. Out of respect, we look at the feet first. Just like a woman, or say a man approaches a woman other than, Lakshmana. He never saw the face of Sita Devi. He never looked in her face, only at her feet, out of respect. So out of great respect, we look at the Lord, we take darshan of the Lord at his feet first. Gopa Kumar was not educated in that method. So he may have looked at the face first. That didn't matter for him. Sampujitam vivida durlabha vastu vargaish sevanu shakta paricharaka vrinda jushtam Nivityadi kamcha puruton abhavantam arat tishtantam asana varesa paricharaugam. While many attendants, fondly attached to serving him, worshipped him with various rare items, he stood on an excellent throne and from a distance watched the dancing and other entertainment presented before him. Every sort of wonderful paraphernalia was being engaged for his pleasure. Commentary. As the most precious items to be found were presented to the Lord, one after another, his personal attendants waved chamara fans and offered him betel nut and other refreshments. In the midst of this, instead of coming forward to meet the crowd, the Lord just stood on his throne and acknowledged his entertainment, going on further by watching with unblinking eyes. He didn't know what a deity was. It was peculiar to him that the Lord was accepting the worship and not responding, just standing there. Anyway, Gopa Kumar is much more impressed by this. He's more satisfied to see the Lord worshipped in a much different way, with much more opulence. That's satisfied, at least for now. We'll see that he doesn't remain satisfied. He never remains satisfied until he reaches his final destination. But for now, for a while, he's fully satisfied. Paramananda purnoham. So that's the qualification to reach Krishna's lotus feet, is never be satisfied. Paramananda purnoham pranamandanda van muhuhu vyachintayam idam swasya pashyam adya didvikshitam. Filled with supreme bliss, I repeatedly fell flat on the ground. Today I thought, I have seen what I always wanted to see. Samprapto janmasapolyam nagamishyam yatakvachit vaishnavanam chakripaya tatraivanyavasam sukam. Now my life is a success. I shall never go away from this place. And so, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, I began to live there happily. Okay, now Gopa Kumar begins a new life in the capital city. Most people go to the capital and make it big in the material world. But Gopa Kumar has gone there for a different reason. Commentary. Gopa Kumar had left his family and friends to wander in search of his worshipable Lord, and now he had found him. Although as a penniless beggar from a foreign country, Gopa Kumara could hardly expect to be allowed to stay in the neighborhood of the royal palace and dine on the remnants of the king's deity. The local Vaishnavas were very kind to him. They brought him Mahaprasadam and did everything possible to encourage and protect him. Without the protection of the Vaishnavas, things are difficult. Bunjano Vishnu Naivedyam Pashyan Puja Mahotsavam Shrinvan Pujari Mahatpyam Yatnan mantram raho japan. If somebody comes to Krishna, give them some prasadam and a little encouraging words. You know, it may change their life. It'll encourage them to come back to Krishna again and again. I would eat even a beggar from the gutter. If someone comes to see Krishna, don't send them away without prasadam, and encourage them. I would eat remnants of food offered to Lord Vishnu, witness the great festivals of his worship, and hear the glories of his worship and more, all the while carefully chanting my mantra in private. Commentary. If Gopakumar had started chanting out loud, things wouldn't have occurred the way they were supposed to. He was supposed to remain in ignorance for quite a long time. So if he started chanting out loud, the local Brahmins would have started preaching to him and explained things to him. He's not supposed to hear those things yet. So circumstances were arranged by Krishna's Yogamaya that he never revealed to anybody what he was doing about his secret chanting. While residing with the Vaishnavas who served the deity of Lord Vishnu, Gopakumara, Kumara means he's probably, we guess he's about 8 years old. That's our guess. You know, he's a Kumara. He's a young boy. Dressed like a cowherd boy from Govardhan. Gopakumara heard from them the glories of the worship of Vishnu, as described in various Puranas and other scriptures. He never heard of these books before. He heard that worshipping Vishnu is the highest activity for human beings, and he heard specific instructions about various aspects of his worship. He also heard about the glories of Lord Vishnu's prasadam. Shadbir masopavasaistu yat palam parikirtitam Vishnur naivedya siktanam bunjatam tatkalau yuge. All the benefits ascribed to the vow of fasting for 6 months. I don't think that means fasting, not eating anything for 6 months. I think it's observing a regular fast, maybe once a week or something, for 6 months. Or maybe a complete fast twice a month for 6 months. Are gained in the Kali Yuga. This probably means observing a Kadasi completely, no food, and only eating once on the Dwadashi. For 6 months, strictly. So all the benefits ascribed to the vow of fasting for 6 months are gained in Kali Yuga by those who eat food mixed with the remnants of Lord Vishnu. From all these instructions, however, Gopakumara did not receive a complete systematic spiritual education. Still, he was untrained. No one told him, for example, about such basic matters as the existence of higher planets, like the Swarga of Lord Indra. The Vaishnavas were unaware that Gopakumara, despite his saintly qualities, had never had any training. Thus he remained naive about the complexities of the material world. Okay, I'm going to stop reading there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
What does Nivedanam exactly mean?
Nivedanam means offering. You know, you make an offering to someone. Let's see. Nimantranam is invitation. Nivedanam is also a request. So it literally means something that you request the Lord to accept is Nivedanam. And it, in actual usage, it means everything that's been offered to the Lord, not just his food, but the other offerings are his naivedyam. Especially the food that you offer to the Lord, the prasadam. It's Krishna's naivedyam. After he takes it, it's prasadam. Krishna doesn't eat prasadam. He can't offer it again to Krishna after it's offered. So before it's offered, it's naivedya or bhoga. Where do we see Naivedya here? Naivedya Siktanam. And it says here, food mixed with the remnants of Lord Vishnu. Even if you don't get a full plate of Mahaprasadam, you get some prasadam and you can mix it with your own food. Even that is better than fasting for 6 months. Yeah. Of course, Krishna says, those who eat, cook for themselves, they're eating sin, so we don't want to do that. We don't want to cook something else beside what's offered to Krishna. We only eat Krishna's prasadam. It may not be directly off his plate, but we consider everything that's in the pot in the kitchen of the same thing that's been cooked only for Krishna. Our understanding is that it's all Krishna's Mahaprasadam. Okay, it's Krishna's prasadam. There are even some Gaudiya, some of the Gaudiya Mutts, they say that what it wasn't on Krishna's plate is not prasadam, it's only, well, they call it prasadi. We don't even, Prabhupada never mentioned such a word. You know, sort of like semi-prasadam. You know, or they say the parts of the vegetables you throw away and don't put into the preparation, they're prasadi. You know, things that couldn't have been offered. But no, we consider that it doesn't have to be right on Krishna's plate to be prasadam. If it was cooked for Krishna, we cook a huge pot enough to feed 500 people, 1,000 people. Krishna accepts all of it. We put some of it on the plate, but it's all offered. Prabhupada even said you don't have to cook it all at once. We have our restaurants. You cook once in the morning, make an offering. You can continue cooking the same preparations throughout the day. From when more customers come, it's all offered. It was offered in the beginning, and you make more of the same thing, it's still offered. It's all prasadam. That's naivedyam. Well, naivedyam is what you offered. Okay, yes, bro.
I wanted to know because in the countries, some people have their custom, like before eating, they take out something and keep it out of their plate, and they call it
Balidan. Okay, well that's one of the pancha samskaras. That is a karmakanda prescription for householders. They have to perform that samskaras. Pancha yagya, pancha mahayagya. That is also practiced by many Vaishnavs. A grihastha has to atone for unintentional violence in the home, because there are five slaughterhouses in the home. I can't remember all of them. The stove, the jaru, because you're killing insects and microbes when you're sweeping. You're killing when you light the fire for cooking. What are the other three? Water pot. And the grinder, the ulukalam. That's four. Water pot is one. Anyway, there's another one.
Mortar and pestle.
Okay.
And the grinding.
Grinding mortar. So you're killing unintentionally, but you're killing. So you have to perform prayashchitta, atonement. And the five atonements, you have to worship the devas, the pitras, the rishis, the human beings, and all the creatures, including the animals. So there are different sacrifices you perform every day. You have to perform some homa for the devatas. You have to study some shastra for the rishis. You have to give... you have to greet guests and have them in your house and feed them. That's worship of the human beings. And for the creatures in general, you have to take this, before you eat. First of all, before you eat, Prabhupada says the grihastha has to go outside and invite, is anybody hungry, please come. And if people come and there are so many guests, there's nothing left for him, that's too bad. If there's anything left, then he can eat. And before he eats, he has to do this bali dan. He has to take some piece off the plate, and that's offering it not to the Buddhas in the sense of ghosts, but to all the living beings. That's his obligation. And that should be done. The grihastha should do that. Prabhupada said. But, always doing that. Yeah, strict Brahmins do that. No harm in it. You lose a small piece of prasadam. Yeah. But did I answer the whole question, though? Did I answer?
I just wanted to know, what is the offering they do is not for the, it's for all the living beings.
Yes. Yeah. But it's appropriate. Yes, Phil. But it should be, you're offering something that's already been first offered to Vishnu. Okay, yes.
When somebody brings from outside, from sweets or like this, we did not offer to Lord, but offer to the Alekha.
For the regular offering or in between?
In between.
No, not in between, atar or something.
Okay.
Is it okay process or?
It's acceptable. You can make additional offerings. You're doing service to the devotees by feeding them. It should be offered. Not every offering has to be with complete formality at the scheduled time on the altar. You can offer it to a picture. But also, that doesn't, not completely directly related to what you're asking. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his practice was to purchase sweets to offer to the deities. Because the professional, Halawai, they could cook better sweets than the brahmacharis in the ashram. So he went out and bought the sweets from the sweet shops for offering to the deities.
But that is brings from outside people, from outside.
From outside people? He said that was a better offering because it was cooked nicely. No, he instituted that in the Gaudiya Mutt, that they would get sweets from outside and include that in the offering on the altar, instead of trying to cook it themselves. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm trying to see the door.
All year in our ISKCON temple, there are Radha Krishna deities, but in Mayapur, if you go, there are Ashtasakhi deities.
Yes.
So how to take darshan of those deities? Like we say, from lotus feet, we are taking darshan of Radha Krishna.
Yes.
But in Mayapur, if you go, there is like surprising. How to take darshan of Ashtasakhis?
Feet first. It takes a little while. the time period for darshan, it goes on for an hour and a half. You have plenty of time to take darshan in Mayapur. Yeah, the kirtans go on for a long time. And you can see from the back of the hall, it's no problem to take darshan. I don't know, I usually take darshan first of Lalita Devi Vishakha, then the others, then Radhakrishna last. But I'm not sure if that's the standard procedure. I don't know. Hare Krishna. Something else? Yes, Prabhu. Oh.
Just two five important processes you were telling. Are there some sequences like learning for duty worship and this?
No, they're listed in a particular sequence, but the way he describes it, that any one of the five by itself is adequate for attaining love of God, so it doesn't have to be in a particular order.
Duty worship is actually the process of the upper yoga.
Not only that, but it's the process of the Pancharatrika system, which is a lesser system. It's a ritualistic system. Devotional, but not on the level of spontaneous love. The same deity worship, Hare Krishna, is an anga also of pure devotional service, of mixed devotional service and pure devotional service. Both mixed devotees and those practicing pure devotional service and pure paramahamsas, they all three categories of devotees. The karma mishra bhaktas, grihastas in their home, they worship their deity. The sannyasis who are jnana mishra bhaktas, they worship. The sadhakas who are trying to practice pure devotional service, they worship the deity. And the paramahamsas, they worship the deity. Each in a different style. That makes at least four different styles, but it's all the same process.
So what is the difference? Like what we are doing is what is
the It's the same activity being utilized in different processes. So it takes it's different according to the process that it's being utilized for. I mean, the money, you know, my 100 rupee note is the same 100 rupee note. If I use it, you know, to buy a ticket into the circus, it's for one purpose. If I use it, you know, and give it to Krishna, that's another purpose. Same money. So the same process of deity worship serves different purposes in different levels, different styles of devotional service. Okay, so maybe we can stop here. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamita, and Srila Sanatana Goswami and Gopu Kumar Ki Jai. Yeah.